hope everyone's really good. It's really good to be back. Really great weekend last weekend. And if you weren't able to be on the weekend, I really hope that you won't miss out on it too much, because I hope there'll be something about what God has done amongst us here that will really have an overflow into everybody here in the church. If you've got your Bible with you, can you turn please to Matthew chapter 4? And we're going to read from verse 18. And I'm going to read in the ESV version of the Bible. And if you're just interested on time, I think we always aim to finish at absolutely the latest by 12:15. We'll be done by 12:10, something like that, this morning. Oh, thank you. It's a present. Thanks, Simon. Okay, are we all ready?
Yeah.
Let's go. Matthew chapter 4, verse 18. While walking by the Sea of Galilee, Jesus saw two brothers, Simon, who's also called Peter, and Andrew, his brother, casting a net into the sea, for they were fishermen. And Jesus said to them, "Follow me, and I'll make you fishers of men." Immediately they left their nets and followed him, and going on from there, he saw two other brothers, James, the son of Zebedee, and John, his brother, in the boat with Zebedee, their father, mending their nets, and he called them. Immediately they left the boat and their father and followed him. I'm not sure how pleased the father was just to suddenly be left with all this stuff, but anyway, that's what they did. They left their boat and their father and followed Jesus. And Jesus went throughout all Galilee, teaching in their synagogues and proclaiming the gospel of the kingdom and healing every disease and every affliction among the people. And so his fame spread throughout all Syria. And they brought to him all the sick and those afflicted with various diseases and pains and those oppressed by demons and epileptics and paralytics, and he healed them. So when Pauline comes up and says that Jesus, I mean, it's not new that Jesus does that. That's what it should be happening all the time in our midst. And great crowds followed him from Galilee and the Decapolis and from Jerusalem and Judea and from beyond the Jordan. And seeing the crowds, Jesus went up the mountain and he sat down and his disciples came to him. And he opened his mouth and he taught them, saying this, "Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are those who mourn, for they shall be comforted. Blessed are those who are meek, for they shall inherit the earth." By the way, when we read through a lot of these Beatitudes, it's not figuratively saying, blessed are those people who've had somebody die, but it's somebody, blessed are those who mourn, who recognize that without God, there is nothing for them. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they shall be satisfied. Blessed are the merciful, for they shall receive mercy. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called sons of God. Blessed are those who are persecuted for righteousness' sake, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. And blessed are you when others revile you and persecute you and utter all kinds of evil against you falsely on my account. Rejoice and be glad, for your reward is great in heaven. So they persecuted the prophets who were also before you. And in these last few verses, you are the salt of the earth. But if salt has lost its taste, how shall its saltiness be restored? It's no longer good for anything except to be thrown out and trampled under people's feet. You're the light of the world, a city set on a hill that cannot be hidden. Nor do people light a lamp and put it under a basket, but they put it on a stand, and it gives light to all in the house. And in the same way, let your light shine before others, so that they may see your good works and give glory to your Father who is in heaven. At the start of a new sort of like term in the life of the church, it's often the time, this first Sunday back in September when we gather together again, it's often the first time when we have a sort of like a vision type Sunday and we say that this is where God is leading us, this is what God has called us to do. But I think I explained a little bit last Sunday, I've always found that a little bit difficult to lay out and to say, oh, this is what we're going to go and do for the year ahead, because it makes us think, oh, it's on us then to try and work out what is it that we have to try and do. And then if we achieve what we have set out to do, it makes us feel really good and makes us feel perhaps a little bit proud. And if we don't achieve what we've set out to do, it makes us all feel a little bit sad. You think, oh no, oh, we couldn't do it. And you know what? Often when we try and talk about vision, vision is a very good thing to have as a church, to be going somewhere. But it is not the most important thing. The most important thing is this, is that we are followers and disciples of Jesus. And I just need to let you know, it is a much more fun journey, okay, than instead of me or somebody else standing up saying, I think we should do this, this and this for the coming year ahead. It's a much more fun journey if we just say, look, we're going to follow Jesus and see where it goes. It's better. We're going to have a better journey. It's going to be a step of great faith, I think, if that is what we're going to go and do. I just want to look at these verses very briefly. We're going to do a few things in the time that we've got this morning, but just very briefly, some of the things that these verses said. And the first one, if it comes up. Simon, can you press next? There you go. The first one, Jesus said to his disciples, look, I just want you to follow me. All these disciples, they were like in the boats and they were fishing and they were doing all this stuff. He said, look, to be honest, I just want you to come and follow me. And there was something about Jesus that they just said, oh, okay. And they left it all. They left their dad, sort of like one of them, his dad was left in the boat thinking, well, what am I going to do now? You're just going to, what? But there was life changed when they started to follow Jesus. There was something that became just far more important. And I just need to ask you the question, when was the last time you changed where you were going or what you were going to do because you felt Jesus say something to you or you felt, I think Jesus would do this? Can I tell you two occasions when that's happened to me in the last 2 weeks? One of them doesn't put me in a very good light, just to let you know. I have a really nice dog. I took my really nice dog for a run around a park. As I was running around a park, some guy who had a dog, I promise you, this dog looked like a wolf. I am not joking. It was just looked like a wolf. Now, I made the mistake of running on the path. It was a very narrow path. You couldn't get away. There wasn't fields. It was just a park, lake on one side, fence on the other. I made the mistake of running up behind. I was going for a run, running behind them, and I could see this wolf-like dog eyeing us. And anyway, as I ran past them, this wolf-like dog attacked. Well, when I say attacked, it pinned my dog down and was sort of like really going for it. And, you know, I wasn't very kind. What I said, I shouted. I said, you want to keep that dog on a lead? I was a little bit cross. And then I ran on. And I could just vaguely hear him saying hello or something like that in the background. It wasn't. And anyway, and I just ran on, and I thought that was really angry. And then I got in my car and drove away, and I thought, no. Go and say sorry to that man for losing your temper. No, Jesus, I don't want to do that. I promise you I got back 2 miles down the road. 2 miles, I thought, oh, for goodness sake. Okay, I don't want to do this because he was really annoying and he should have had his dog. Anyway, turned the car around, drove back to exactly where it was. And I thought, Jesus, this man is here. I'm just going to say to him, I'm going to stay in my car, by the way, roll down the window and say, listen, Matt, I'm really sorry for losing my temper. And then I'm just going to drive off. I got in the car park. He wasn't there. I couldn't find him. Phew. But I wanted to be available, that if he was there, I wanted to say sorry. You know, and I think sometimes to say sorry is quite hard for some people, isn't it? And when we were praying earlier, I felt there's one or two of us here that we need to go and say sorry to some people. I don't know what it's about. Maybe some stuff that's been spoken over you and you think, oh, I just want to go and say sorry. The other time when I changed what I was going to do was 2 days ago, I was driving down Sefton Avenue, just coming back home, and I saw this. I'd seen this guy walking down the road, and I don't know. He didn't look particularly healthy, but he was walking down the road. And then when I was driving back, I saw him again, and he was like leaning on some sort of like telephone box type thing. And I just thought, and again, you will probably be better at this than me. You will probably hear God speak to you more quickly than I do. I'm not very good. And I just drove past him, and he was leaning there. He was looking really unwell. And then I got up to my house, and I just thought, no, go back up the road and just offer to pray for him. And again, I went up the road, and I'd like to say he was there and he was miraculously healed and everything. But I do want to be available. And when Jesus said to these disciples, just follow me, it means something. Do you know what? It does mean something to be a follower of Jesus. And over the year ahead, I want to think more like Jesus. I want to behave more like Jesus. I want to speak more like Jesus. I want to be compassionate like Jesus was compassionate. And do you know what? The bizarre thing is that as a church, as we have said to people, look, it's not about building the church here. It's about going out into the community and just bringing Jesus to wherever you are. Do you know, it sets people free. It's not just about building something here. No, whatever we do, we come here so that Jesus might go out into the community more and more. The next thing, Sam, if you could just bring it up, was this. That Jesus healed people in power. And you know, I want this coming year us to see more of the power of God at work in our lives. Sometimes I think, you know, in worship, and you know, if you're visiting, if you're here for the first time this morning, and you think during worship, and you, what on earth was going on? Where were all these? I thought we should be singing songs. We should have all the words, and they should all be there. And what's all this like? People singing their own songs, and you think, well, we just want to be in a place where the power of God is at work, where He has free reign, where we can sing something to God ourselves. And it's not just about following. No, we want to experience something of the power of God. And there have been lots of times, I think, when people come to church and they would come into a body like this and they'd say things, what is it about this room that just makes me feel like at peace with God? I just, you know, it's nothing about the room whatsoever. The room's just the room. We just got the paint from B&Q and we, you know, these tiles coming from a shop and we got those lights online. It's nothing about the room. But it's when you have lots of people in the room together that love Jesus and they're bowing down their lives to Him and they want Him to be number one in their lives and we give all our issues to Him. I felt earlier when we were, you know, Jerry was just saying, has anybody got, you know, something to share? I felt God say to me, you know, if you, and Bryn was having this song about Jesus speaks a better word over us. I thought, I remember words that people have spoken over me that have been really horrible. Really horrible. I remember once when I was a kid, as you know, I went to a boarding school, and I remember being in this dormitory, and the boys were sort of like talking, and they thought I was asleep, and I remember them talking about them. They were talking about me, and for years those words were quite powerful because they just broke into my heart, you know. And now there came a point I thought those words that were spoken that were so horrible and mean, Jesus, I've just got to give them to you. You have those. And Jesus, you take those words. And when the moment I did that, those words became powerless. And I gave them to Jesus. And then I thought, I'm just going to worship Him. And that was when breakthrough comes. And I think there'll be many of us here who've had words spoken over us that were just like cut us down or were negative. God's come to give us life and hope. And to the other side of it, just so it's not all doom and gloom and horrible. Okay. On Thursday, I went to a meeting and I spoke to some woman, and she's a friend. I've known her through church for a while. And she said something to me so casually that was so encouraging. She didn't even know what she said was really encouraging, but she just seen something and she said, oh, that was really good. And you know, I just think the words that are spoken over us really count. But I want to pray that there's an encounter with power this morning, that negative words are broken, that we might live lives that are full of faith and full of joy and full of hope. And right at the end, because we're slightly running out of time, I'm going to pray for people who need to see breakthrough in that particular area. The next thing that we can just come up was there was a real Jesus spoke to these people and said, no, there's a real attitude change. All these things about the Beatitudes, and the Beatitudes just means wonderfully blessed. And he was saying, no, you need to change the way that you think. And that's why over the next 7 weeks, we're going to have this wonderful series called Transform. Then in a moment, Andy's just going to come and outline for us. But it's just going to talk about changing the way that we think about everything. Changing the way that we think about our spiritual lives, physical lives, mental lives, emotional lives, relational lives, financial lives, and vocational lives. And when we think differently about those, when we think like Jesus thinks about our lives, when we start to think like that, everything changes. And suddenly we come lives where we're not sort of like just constantly defeated. No, but there's a sense of victory in our lives. God has come to give us good things, to bless us. Amen. I want to learn to think like Jesus thinks. And that's how I'll learn to live like him as well. The next thing that it came, it said this. I just want you to be salty. It says, you are the salt of the earth. We need to be unafraid to live different lives. Do you know what? Let me just tell you, I think you know this. If you are ever worried about standing up for Jesus, people want to see people who live differently. Like, you have to believe it. You really do, because there's sometimes, I know we're talking about breaking through strongholds and areas that where we struggle, but there is this, we break through all of those areas. What for? Because there's an extraordinary amount of joy and life that God wants to give us. That when we give those things to Jesus and when we worship him, breakthrough happens. I've got so many friends, okay, they take quite a lot of time taking the mickey out of me. Just because of my, you know, like just yesterday, on Friday, just playing rugby, and I had to go early because anyway, they said, yeah, just running off, you've got to go and prepare for Sunday. And then they all say, yeah, you only work one day a week, don't you? No, it gets worse. Sorry, it's only not one day. You only work in the morning, don't you? No, sorry, it's not only in the morning, it's only about 20 minutes. And at that point, I said, 20 minutes if you're lucky, mate. I spend a lot, you know. But they want to know difference. Yeah. The thing is that they are not impervious to the gospel. They want to see somebody who's got a new sense of joy and life in their life. Come on, Lord. They want to see it. And you don't have to be afraid. You don't have to be timid about what God is doing. There is something of the joy of the Lord on our lives. And it transforms cultures. Jill and I are going to do this sleep out to raise money for Glassdoor that is in the email newsletter. And I know that a lot of my friends that I play rugby with, if I say to them, look, I'm going to do this sleep out to raise money for homelessness, they'll all laugh like massively. But I tell you what, they will dig deep into their pockets to raise money. Yeah. Of course they'll do it. Of course they'll do it, because they don't want to admit it all the time, but they want to see somebody who lives for a different reason. I think about living lives, unafraid to be different, unafraid to be pure, and a bit unafraid to not joke about some things that are just dodgy. You know, I love it. You know, when some people say, oh, Jesus Christ, and then they say, oh, sorry. Like, there's a part of me that wants to say, oh, no, don't worry. You can say, there's a part of me that, no, actually, yeah, thank you. Thank you. You know, that's really important to me. That man that you're just, he's really, and so I like it. I want to be people who, we want to have a church where we honor one another. You know, when we prefer one another over each other. And, you know, when people come up and contribute, you know, and I think it's great, because we want to submit to one another. When somebody comes up and brings something at the front and you think, no, that's good. We want that. It's about preferring one another, honoring one another. Many of you will know that we're going into something, having a gift day. I just need to let you know that if you're visiting this morning, if you're just here for the first time, this doesn't really apply to you, but we are having a gift day over the next a couple of weeks, when we just want to raise. People give generously, extraordinarily generous, but I want to be I want to be different with my money as well, because sometimes it's easy to be different when it's jovial and you're joking with people and you're saying that. But I tell you what really counts is when we're different with our money, because often that's in the quiet place. You know, and I think some people are saving up money for certain things, but we're going to have a gift day over the next couple of weeks. I want to be the most generous man that I know. I want us to be the most generous church that we know. And we had a gift day in March last year, and we were praying that we would raise £40,000 in a gift day. Now, I don't know. To be honest, I don't feel led to particularly pray about a particular amount. But I do know that I don't want to. I don't want it to be a cost-less exercise. I want to give something that costs me something. And as we know, what we're going to do with our gift money is we're going to make this place a better place to serve our community. We're going to build a kids' play zone out there so that when people come to the food bank and when they come here during midweek, they've got something that is fantastic. We want to build a polytunnel out there so that a lot of the lads that we are in connection with, and some of the girls as well, that have got all sorts of addictive issues going on in their background. Oh, we could do something that is really good. We could do something that gets people productive and growing tomatoes that taste really nice. Amen. We want to get some money together to take a new step of faith, to bring in somebody that's just got a real passion for young people. We've got a growing number of young people in our mix and kids that are just growing up. And you think, oh, we need to have somebody that just is really serving them well. Well, we want to do that. We want to fund something. I just need to let you know there's no compulsion in there. You know, there's no pressure. All I'm doing is I'm presenting a better picture before you and saying, it's going to cost me something. And let's stand together in doing something that is amazing. So what we'll do on our gift day is there won't be a normal offering next Sunday and the following Sunday, but it'll be a special gift Sunday. So we might do it differently. We might come down to the front and put our money down in the front. I'm just praying that God makes us really generous. The next thing before just hand over, it says this. Just unafraid to be visible. It says, put yourself on a shine. Don't be afraid to shine really brightly. And I think as individuals, but I think also there's something about us as a church. Just to let you know, I think we are aware that we are running out of space in this building. When the kids are in here, so it's full. And actually we know that actually when churches are full, people won't come because it's too uncomfortable. And you think, oh, I can't, it's really awkward, I don't know what to do. And so you just need to know that we are really trying to work out. And I'm hoping that we'll be able to come in the next couple of weeks with some sort of like solution, what we could do as a possible way to create some space. And in the past, we've looked at all sorts of options about having kids out from the beginning, building a bit more space out here, finding somewhere else. We're on it, just to let you know. We're trying to find something that will give us a bit more space because we do feel that God has called us not to stay this size, but just to go on a journey of faith. And trust Jesus. Where is he leading us? Andy, how long have you got on Transform? Okay. I want to do these next slides in the quickest thing that you could possibly do. Our vision is to follow Jesus. Sometimes what helps us to follow Jesus is when we look back and see what he has done. So just, Simon, can we just go through these really quickly? If we want to know, be prompted about what God has done over the last year, he's built us together with this church, the world, and it's just been amazing. Okay, can I do it on this one? Will it work? Yeah. Okay, fantastic. I'm just going to go through it. We just want all the things that God, we just want to be thankful. God has done some amazing work in some of the guys in the church, really building them together. And funnily enough, he's done some really amazing stuff in some of the women as well. And funnily enough, can you see that old skanky building? Oh, it's here. It's the same one. We've just done some people have served so amazingly. And they've built some amazing things. And all these things, bacon sandwiches. Yeah, we like bacon sandwiches. And all these things, people have helped build some amazing Sundays. There have been so many people that just serve consistently in the background of this church. People that come and clean, people that set out chairs. It is utterly amazing what people do. And they do it all for free, most of them. It's just amazing how people serve. We have some wonderful creativity. And this bookshop, where's Noetta? There's Noetta. This book, just people serving and doing whatever they can to make this place a better place. We have amazing people at Welcome Team who come and stand on the doors and just say, welcome, you are really, really welcome. Do you know, somebody came here the other day and they said this was the most welcoming church that they'd been to. No, I don't want to stay like that. I just think, no, actually, it's not good enough. I want to be the most welcoming church, but actually, it's not just about welcoming people on the Sunday. Actually, we need to welcome people into our homes. You're really welcome to come and be part of our lives. Somebody said to me today, early on, is there something that I can volunteer of? And I just said to them, it's dangerous to offer to volunteer, because if you offer to volunteer, you will be in. There's quite a lot of things that you can do in this church and help out. We have some amazing people that just serve with our young people and our kids, and that just do some extraordinary things Sunday by Sunday and week by week. It is utterly amazing. We have some people that give themselves and just press into what God is calling them to do. And one of the things about this church is we don't want to just build like the church. It's about what is it that God has spoken to you about and how can you get on and do it. And the church, it's not you coming and serving the church, but it's all about the church saying, well, how can we help you do everything that God has called you to do? Can I just say, we are doing a really whistle-stop tour. This coffee morning here is because Caroline, for years and years, has had a real heart to do something for older people. It's not because we think, oh, we should do something for old people. What can we do? Then who can we find to do it? That's because Caroline's had a heart to do it for years and years and years. And then we're doing it. It's about what is God speaking to you about, and then how can we help you get on and do it? And then we've got people who come and serve and just help and clear up and do everything that we can. We're going quickly. Baptisms. We had lots of baptisms this year. I would really like to have some more baptisms in this coming year, because that's the moment when people publicly are saying, this is who I am. You can give your life to Christ in the quietness of your home, in the time of ministry, but actually there are times when you get baptized and you think, no, this is who we are. We're going very quickly. We had a great 15-year celebration, wonderful cake. We had a great Christmas. We really enjoyed Christmas. We're going to have another really blinding Christmas this year. This, if you didn't know, is our wonderful choir, and they sounded great. We have some people that just serve. This is one of the teams that just does so much catering. They just give themselves consistently. Consistently give themselves. We want them to set up a business, really. Because they could make a shed load of money. We're just really grateful. These are all the guys from Barrett Homes. They transformed this old building here that was really horrible. Well, it wasn't, but it's the same space. They built it as something that is absolutely... We're just incredibly thankful. And what we're looking for, just to remind us, all these things, we're looking back to be thankful, and then we just say, and Jesus, we're just going to follow you because you're going to do even more in the year to come. That was part of the transformation of this building, made it into something that was really rather wonderful. Christmas, but it wasn't just Christmas. It's being creative. I love people who just... My daughter made this extraordinary necklace holder 2 days ago, and I think, how did you do that? But she went out into the wood, into the garden. She found a bit of wood. She went into my garage, and she found some string and some nails. She made this thing, something beautiful out of rubbish. Amazing. Come on, we want creativity to flourish in our midst. And all this creativity that went on Sunday, and these people are just, these three people here can't help but be creative. We need more people. We built something, I'm going really quickly, we do a cap money, a debt center, serving the community through everything that's happening. People are real in a dark place because of debt. We're helping them come to a place of freedom. We run a food bank that runs out here every Tuesday and Thursday. People come. We're having all sorts of connections through the Westminster Drug Project, all sorts of things. You know, we just want to be involved in our community. We're on Baby Basics, which we really like. Hope you haven't saw the article in a magazine that was written just, that's published last week. All these things of helping some of the most vulnerable mums in the community. We're giving them these wonderful packs. We were nearly finished. 48 hours of prayer, people praying consistently, people reading a website that was just an award-winning website. It's just amazing. Anyway, this was the local, she was the local MP. She was standing just here. She was just talking about how we can serve our community. We want to be involved in more and more of these things. This is a local councillor. She was learning how to make pancakes. Taking teams around the world. Our vision for 2020 is this. We're going to follow Jesus where he takes us. And if you're up for that, that is the sort of church we want to build together. Andy, I'm so sorry, Andy, but come and tell us about the following 7 weeks, can you? I'm sorry, I took all the time.
You were talking well then, so it was good. Okay, so I've got the privilege of just introducing the Transform series. I'm not going to take all your time up. But it's something that we've been holding in our hearts for about a year. We decided over a year ago, and in fact, we were going to do it in this term last year, but it just didn't seem to fit until this term. And this term, it just seems to be the perfect fit. And so Romans 12, verse 2 says, "Do not be conformed to the pattern of the world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind." And we believe that God wants to transform us and changes, and I believe he wants to take us on a journey together. So over the next 7 weeks, as Duncan's already said, we're going to just go over a journey together, and we're going to have Sunday mornings. So Sunday services are going to be focused on a topic, and then we're going to have groups in the week where we'll gather in small groups across the borough to dig in deeper. And also we're going to have these books which take you through day-by-day studies in Scripture, just to see what God does in our hearts and minds. We believe that the cross was God's final word, and the empty grave was part of that. And we believe that his kingdom wants to work in each of our lives more and more and more. We want to see his kingdom come. He said his kingdom was at hand. So let's just believe that. Actually, let's not be stuck and conformed to the fear and the anxiety that the world can bring or the situations, but let's be knowing that actually God wants to do a better thing in our lives. That he wants to do a better thing. He wants us to believe in a better thing than what we've got going on. He has so much more for us. So let me just encourage you to take part in this, commit to it along with us. Let's do a journey together on this. And there's just a couple of ways to do it. So joining a group, we join groups online. You go to trinitylondon.org, and then there's a button called Connect, and then you press Join a Group, and it's there. And we will also send it out in the email update, just a link for you to go to. There's going to be 7 groups. So Noetta is running a group in Finchley, Pat and Alan are running a group in Mill Hill, Dee Dee and Pete are running a group in Mill Hill, Duncan and Jill are going to run a group in Mill Hill, Bryn and Sandy are doing one in High Barnet, Chris and John are going to do one here, and then Dorla is going to do a youth group on a Sunday evening and join up the youth on everything that we're doing. Let me encourage you, join a group, take part in it. Commit yourself to that group. It'll be a weekly meeting on different days of the week. If you look online, you'll be able to find that there. The other thing is a book to help us all do it together. So we're selling the books. They'll be £8 each. If you can afford it, we're encouraging people to pay £10 for a book. And then for the people who can't afford it, to say to us, actually, I can't afford it. We want everyone to do it. So please don't, because you can't afford it, get a book. Talk to me or talk to Noetta on the bookshop. Books are for sale today. And I think that is all I have to say. It's going to be a fantastic series. Let's see what God does in the midst today. Yeah, okay. So the 7 areas that we're going to be going through in this order. So we're going to go through spiritual health, physical health, mental health, emotional health, relational health, financial health, and vocational health. So it's just taking the whole of us, everything that we are and everything that we do, and making sure it's conformed and transformed by the power of God. It's going to be so, so good. Let me hand back.
Right. I think we're done. What I'd like to do is... let me just pray, can I? Heavenly Father. Lord Jesus, we want to think more like you. We want to think more like you about our spiritual health. We want to think more like you about our physical health. Father, we want to think more like you about our mental health. We give that to you, Lord Jesus. We pray that we would see your ways and understand them. Lord, our emotional health, our health in relationships, Lord, our health in money, and our help with our health in our jobs. And we bring it all to you and we say, King Jesus, would you take us on this journey over the coming few weeks where we think more like you about all of these areas of our lives? Father, we thank you. Yes, Lord. Amen. I wonder if we could do 2 things. Could I just ask you to stand? Bryn, if you could come back. The band, if you have got children, could I just ask you to go and relieve the wonderful kids workers of your children? Because they will be very pleased if you could go and do that. And then we are just going to come together and sing one last song to finish, and then we're done. And I just say, as we finish, if the particular word that I felt, if you are somebody who, somebody has spoken over you words that are still quite powerful and negative, and you'd like somebody to pray for you, I would really love to just have some time to pray God's grace over your life. So if that is you, just come and find me afterwards. Come and find me or these guys down here, these ladies down here, and they will just pray for you. Yeah. Okay.